One of my favorite parts of our Christmas decorations, both here and at home, is the nativity set. I love its place on our altar, the Christmas story taking center stage, bringing our full focus as we worship together. Some of you may not know or may not have realized that I actually supplement the nativity set. The official set comes with Mary holding a baby, but as we were reminded during children's time today, we're not there yet. So conveniently, they also make an expectant mother. And I've woven that one in instead. It's like a cooking show. We pull the baby out on Christmas Eve. That way the story is a surprise, right? None of you know the baby's... Okay, there's a pregnant lady involved. Maybe it's not a surprise, but it does for us emphasize the waiting. But trying to get an accurate nativity set is a very difficult proposition. I mean, if you were to ask the author of Luke, it would look a lot like what you're used to. I mean, you get Mary and Joe, you'd get the shepherds and the animals, but you wouldn't have the wise men. They've got to go because they're not in Luke. Sorry, camel. Right? So now we have our Luke nativity set. Ah, yes. But if we were going to use the Gospel of Matthew to set this thing up, we'd... Krista, can I have your help? But we're going to keep Mary and Joe... We're going to actually get the wise men back. Yeah, so go ahead and move Mary and Joe forward. But then we got to ditch the shepherds. We got to ditch the animals. We actually ditched the stable. That's not part of the story. Yeah, those guys go. They go. Bah. Okay. Angel. Yep. Gone. Nope. Yep. Yeah. See. Now it's our Matthew nativity set. It's perfect. Now, if you prefer less clutter, if you are a Christmas decoration minimalist, I encourage you to use the Gospel of Mark, because the Gospel of Mark doesn't even tell the story of his birth. Look, it's our Markan nativity set. Isn't it lovely? Totally clear. He just hops right into the adult Jesus life story. Now, if you were to go with the Gospel of John... How about the candle? Yes. You get this group of mystics talking about in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the light in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. You just, in a way, it's telling the nativity story, but very metaphorical. So you get the candle, because the candle will represent God and Jesus and the Spirit and creation and Christ's birth, the present, the past, the future, everything, all in that one moment. Most of us know the stable from Luke, right? That's kind of one of those things that happens all the time. We're very familiar with that one. And we're very familiar with the idea of Mary and Joseph. And you know, the wise men, they're a part of our story too. And so trying to figure out, though, what an accurate nativity looks like. Krista, would you help me out with some of that? Most of us know the stable, the wise men from Matthew. We also have all these other things we think we know that tend to come from Christmas carols and not actually the Bible. Even without the extraneous inclusions from songs like O Little Town of Bethlehem and We Three Kings. By the way, there weren't necessarily three of them. They weren't necessarily kings, and we actually know very little about them. We'll talk about that in January. It's tough to keep all this biblical stuff straight. The differences between all these Gospels start to make a little more sense when you know who each book of the Bible, especially in our Gospels, was written for and who it was written by. You see, Matthew, who throws in the wise men and some of the other stories, Matthew was written for a Jewish audience. So everything that happens in Matthew's telling of Christ's birth is intentionally framed as a fulfillment of an Old Testament scripture, the Hebrew Bible. Hey, Hebrew people, listen to the Hebrew scriptures that I'm using to tell you that this story is just a continuation of your own. What you hear in Matthew over and over is the phrase, to fulfill what was written in the prophets. He lays it on pretty thick. He doesn't just put it in there. He then has to tell you, that's what this is. Jesus' birth story is actually a retelling of the Exodus, the most important story in the Hebrew heritage. The lineage that Matthew tells of where Jesus came from ties all the way back into Abraham's family. Jesus even gets taken to Egypt and comes up out of Egypt like the Hebrew people. But then you get the Gospel of Luke, right, with the shepherds and the angels singing and that whole thing. Luke was written to a Greek audience. So the lineage goes all the way back, not to someone in Abraham's family, but keeps going and traces all the way back to Adam. I've always been, I've always wanted to argue they could have just stopped at Noah, because in theory that was like a reset, but anyway, they keep going all the way through. I mean, it's got to tie to Noah at some point. It's a real bottleneck right there. But it's written to this Greek audience, tying all the way back to Adam to support the author's emphasis on Jesus being something known as the human one. The human one was a very formal title. It was a role known to the Greek audience. It was a role of great importance. There are lots of gods, but this human one thing, what is this? And it caught the Greek ear, and they went, I want to know more about this human one. The birth of Jesus is a wonderful example of how our Bible can tell us the same story in different ways. And for our Bible, that's not a problem. And I would encourage you not to let the differences be a problem. I mean, the authors, the original audiences, they didn't let the differences become a problem. In fact, there's a peace that exists within their differences. These different stories and all the different configurations of our nativity, they can exist in harmony with each other. For all the talk in our scriptures about Jesus being the Prince of Peace, it is easy to overlook the peace with which his birth narrative, or should I say birth narratives, can exist together. They offer us an example of how we might find and live peace. Each story is true to itself as much as it's true to the material. Matthew was Jewish and writing to Jewish people. He couldn't help but see prophecies fulfilled. Luke, who's purported to have been a doctor and was writing to the overly rational Greek audience, well, that human element was extremely essential. And John, written collaboratively by a community of mystics, focuses itself on the mystery, the parts of this that we'll never understand. True reflection on the story of Christ's birth, while creating space for the context of those telling and hearing the story. That's what we find in our scriptures. These authors, they realize the best way to live in harmony, the best way to experience peace, is to know who you are and be true to that. That's one of the gifts of Christmas, an invitation to know who we are and be true to it. That is our best chance at experiencing peace on earth. It's actually the kind of peace the choir sang about. Thank you for that beautiful peace. In fact, that the song they just sang, Peace on Earth, Little Drummer Boy, is another story within a story, just like our scriptures. Peace on Earth, Little Drummer Boy was first debuted on a TV special with Bing Crosby and David Bowie sitting around the piano singing together. It's fantastic. Here's the thing. It almost didn't happen. The day of this live TV show, David Bowie shows up and they say, hey, David, you're going to be singing Little Drummer Boy with Bing. And he scoffs. David Bowie then lets the producers know he hates that song and he won't sing it. Bing will sing a song like that. That's Bing Crosby's bread and butter, right? The nice, smooth, crooning notes with words your grandmother remembers from her childhood. That's Bing Crosby's wheelhouse. But for David Bowie, no. But instead of trying to force David Bowie to be someone he is not, or canceling the whole thing altogether, or conversely, you know, denying Bing Crosby the chance to share who he is. Sorry, Bing, we're doing something new. There's guitars, there's lights, and you're going to have to paint a star on your face. Just deal with this. Instead, the producers, they get an idea. What if Bing sings Little Drummer Boy? And what if we get something different for David to sing? So they sit down that very afternoon, the show a few hours away, and write a new song that fits within the existing song they already planned on singing. The show goes live on TV in a matter of hours, and they begin to write some harmony. David will sing, peace on earth, can it be? Years from now, perhaps we'll see. While Bing sings of a little drummer boy who offers what he can, who offers who he is to baby Jesus. Not only does the music begin to mesh together, but the powerful messages of offering who you are, allowing each of these guys to be who they are, set in perfect harmony together. Our two voices being true to who they are. Just like David Bowie ends up singing, they are men of goodwill, living in peace, around a piano. Because they know who they are, and they're true to it. Such inner peace, a harmony within our souls, that allows difference to exist outside. It allows different versions, not only of a Bible story, but of a life experience of existing together in the world. It allows difference to exist outside and around us without threatening or invalidating who we are. This is our Christmas story, our Christmas stories. It's all of them. It's a story of God's loving acceptance of humanity, and more than just humanity in general, it's God's loving acceptance of each and every human. Acceptance that frees us to be true to who God created us to be, that we might know peace in our souls and peace in the world. A peace that can find harmony with the many different songs that we will encounter in life. Amen.